Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
God will trust the person who knows how to manage his resources. You better get that in your mind. You are not the owner. You are the manager. God is the owner. He is the Lord of all. The word Lord means owner. So God is the landlord of everything you have.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for continuing to join us for Revive Radio. We pray this recent sermon series has been a blessing to you. Let's continue in this sermon series. This is Leading in a Crisis, Part 3. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
And Solomon, being the wise man that he is, took them through the steps to reveal what would be the true mother. And he eventually came to the place where he said, bring me the sword and we're going to cut the baby in half and give both of you each a portion of the baby. And the real mother stopped the whole process and said, no, give the baby to her. Anybody who tries to divide the baby is not a true leader. I don't care if they're sitting on a board of directors or they're in your business or they're in your company or on your team. When they do not care about the outcome and the consequences, they are not a leader in a crisis. They are an individual who has a selfish, greedy agenda that is mismanagement. I'm quiet for a reason right now because I want you to let that soak in. Because I've watched people make decisions before and they didn't care who it hurt. And the reason why they're in trouble, write this down, because as Christians, believers are not immune to crisis. We're going to come up against it. But you're going to find out who is genuine and true whenever they start making decisions about it, and it's not in their own self-interest, but it's in the interest of others. Write it down. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 speaks to us of a crisis that came upon two houses. A storm blew. This is how I know that Christians are not immune to anything. This disease is not coming up to us and saying, hey, are you a Christian? Are you not a Christian? And then jumping on somebody. Happened the same way at 9/11. Understand this, that the storms are going to blow upon each one of us. It rains on the just and the unjust. Storms came in Matthew 7. The Bible talks to us about these two houses. One built on the sand, the other one on the rock. The difference? One built on the sand and the other one built on the rock. The same storm came with a different result. It's important for you. The one on the rock was built on the word of God, the rock who is Christ Jesus, and godly principles. That's why in the storm, even though both houses took a hit, one, the Bible says, fell down and great was the fall of it. But the one built on godly principles on the rock remained steadfast even though it was hit by the same storm. That's your life. The principal keys of the kingdom will work before a crisis, during a crisis, and after a crisis. That's the reason why you can trust God. During a crisis, here's what happens. Those that are outside of the kingdom become fearful, greedy, violent, and they start hoarding up stuff for themselves, toilet paper, for instance. But when you live inside of the kingdom by the kingdom principles, people have faith, they have hope, they have love, and they see opportunity instead of obstacles in front of their path. And I'm not talking about just some blind hope. I'll show you that in a moment. What is the difference between the people outside of the kingdom of God who are not believers and those inside? The difference is godly principles that they're building upon. Let me take you to Psalm 91. The Bible says, 1,000 may fall at thy right hand and 10,000 at thy side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Get this picture. Here you are. You're in the middle of the crisis. You are the one standing here. The Bible says it's falling on the left and it's falling on the right. It didn't mean you were out of it. You're in the middle of it. But it did not come nigh you because the godly principles you're standing upon is trusting in the Lord. Now, here's the biggest question I hear asked right now. How long is this virus going to last? That's a great question. Everybody wants to know, when is it going to end? That's always what we're asking about. When is this going to end? Or the other one that I heard is another great question. When will it be normal again? Heard that just today. When will it be normal? When are things going to get back to normal? Well, first of all, let me tell you, as a leader in this crisis, I want you to know that there is a new normal that is taking place right now upon us. Nothing remains the same, as we taught you last week. Nothing remains the same except God and His Word and His principle. Everything is going to change. So I want you to know, you remember, many of you may and many of you may not, you remember after 9/11? Before 9/11, you went and you got on the plane at the last minute. You didn't even stop. You went through there. They checked your bag a little bit. No pat down, no x-rays, none of that. No taking your belt off, your shoes off, all of that. After 9/11, brand new deal. Brand new deal. I'm telling you that this current crisis is not going to leave everything in a normal state as we have known it. Things are going to change. When hurricanes come through our area, and we've witnessed those right here, I want you to know that it begins, and we look at the forecast and we say, well, it'll be over approximately this time. But when you're looking at this situation, how long is it going to last? They're speculating and saying perhaps August, perhaps June, maybe the curve is already hit. In the end of the day, only God knows when it's going to end. And I will tell you, hear me, I'm leading you now in a crisis right now. You need to know that just because that it comes to the end of this month, for here in the state of Florida, and the quarantine perhaps may be lifted, or the stay-home order may be lifted, that does not mean that the next day that everything is going to be scrubbed clean, everything's right. There's still going to be people that still have this virus resting on the inside of them. Listen, the residual effects will last much longer than this actual virus and quarantine. In fact, we are beginning to see the residual effects that we can look to into the future in the economy that's going on right now. So this is a great question to ask, you know, when's it going to be normal, and when's this thing going to be over? That's a great question, but nobody can answer that. So here's the better question for you to ask. Between now and when this may be over, how am I going to manage myself, my business, my family, my church in this crisis? Because nobody's getting out easy. You're going to have to learn to manage yourself. Get this. This is the key to leading in a crisis, is the management of your life. Many people, especially people in church, they may not say it this way, but they want magic or a miracle, but they don't want to manage. What are you going to do with what you've got in your hands right now? What are you going to do with the resources that's already been afforded to you? I'm talking to you about biblical principles right here tonight. Because God partners with us, but He is not going to just do everything that we can do. Having done all, stand therefore. Note this. I hear many people talking about hope. I want you to get this right here. This is so critical. I hear many people talking about hope. I hear that. I hear it even from preachers, and that's good. But they give empty words to people because they don't mix it with faith. Write this down. Hope is empty if it doesn't have faith. What does that mean? It means it makes a difference where your faith is placed. Faith and hope must be mixed together, and in a crisis or out of a crisis, the only sure foundation is placing your faith exclusively in Christ and Him crucified. It is the one place where sin is dealt with, where sickness is dealt with, and where every answer that I have comes through the vine. Write this down. Hope without faith is hype. It's not real hope. I hear a lot of hyping. Oh, it's going to be better. And I'm all about thinking positive about it. I saw people saying, you know what, look at the numbers of people that have been healed. And that's good. But ladies and gentlemen, you're facing a crisis right now, every moment of your life. And in the days that are ahead, your mind and the anxiousness and the stress and pressure that's going on is already driving people to do things that is outside of the character of Christ. Some people that say that they're Christians and they're doing things outside of the character of Christ. Let me tell you something. The only thing that's going to hold you steady in this crisis is to nail it to the cross and keep your faith there, and then you've got real hope to depend upon. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Genesis chapter 2, verse number 4 and 5, the Bible says that God gave to Adam work first to do in the creation. So write this down. Work equals, or is the same word as, management, found in the scripture in Genesis chapter number 2. So the question is, can you manage what's in your hands right now? I hear people talking about, oh, I don't want $1 million. If you don't have $1 million problem, you can't manage the $10 you've got. God's not going to give you $10 million. If you can't take care and clean that, I talked to somebody yesterday. They said, yeah, we have been spring cleaning our house. One wife that I was talking to, one of the pastors, they said, you know what? I've got to stop him because he's about to throw everything out of the closet and everything out of it because he's spring cleaning so much. Can I tell you something? If you don't manage your house, you won't have one. People talk about, oh, I need a new car. Are you cleaning the bicycle you're riding on? Come on, somebody. It's going to get deep in here. Somebody will give me some thumbs up and some hearts right now because it might get a little tight for you. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 4, God asked the question of Moses, hey, Moses, here's a crisis, Moses. What's in your hand? He responded, a rod. Everything that was necessary came through the power that was in his hand. Elisha, in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, the Bible says that the prophet Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me. And then he said this, what do you have of value in your house? And she said, I've only got this little pot of oil. Do you know out of that little thing came an abundance that she never, in the middle of a famine, in the middle of her crisis, she never went without because God supplied her need when she confessed, I'm going to use what I've got. Look at Matthew chapter 14. The Bible says, here's the people getting ready to be fed. And Jesus asked the disciples, what have you got to feed these people? And they said, well, we can't feed them. He said, I know you can't. You need me. What do you got? He said, we got this small boy's lunch. They bring the lunch over, the fish and loaves. He said, bring that to me. He took it, blessed it, and what would only fed one little boy now feeds 5,000, watch this, with leftovers. Whatever you fail to manage, you will lose. If you fail to manage your body and your health, you'll lose it. Your marriage, if you don't manage your marriage, you will lose it. If you don't manage your health, you will lose it. If you don't manage your money, you will lose it. This is the principles of God's word. If you don't manage your family, you will lose it. If you don't manage the church, you will lose that church. If you don't manage those employees, you will lose employees. Good ones will walk off from you. If you don't manage your resources, then you will see it slide through your hands like butter. If you don't manage your house and take care of your house and cut your grass, come on, somebody, paint your house, pressure wash your house. If you don't take care of that house, how do you think God is going to give you anything greater? It's all about management. Write it down. God will trust the person who knows how to manage his resources. Everything we have belong to God first. You better get that in your mind. You are not the owner. You are the manager. God is the owner. He is the Lord of all. The word Lord means owner. So God is the landlord of everything you have. He's given it to us for a short period of time to manage it. And now we're looking at this crisis, ladies and gentlemen, that is in front of us, that is all of a sudden giving us a clear illustrated message of the fact that life is a vapor. And we have this block of time, and the scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs that our times are determined by God, so he knows what the end of this thing is going to be, but he has given to us all of the resources necessary for us to not only be a blessing to other people, but to be blessed. Now listen, good management always attracts resources. God is a good God. Say that with me. God is a good God. He only gives good gifts to his children. And what does he do? He expects his people to manage what he has given to them, to add value to it.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.